Greetings from Christ Episcopal Church in Valdosta, Georgia. It's Sunday, March the 3rd, 2024, and this is the audio recording of a Vesper service held by members and friends of the Congregation of Christ Church. The service follows the order of worship for Compline, starting on page 127 of the Book of Common Prayer. Our homilist tonight is Della Richards. The service began at 6 o'clock p.m., after the tolling of the church bell.
The Lord Almighty grant us a peaceful night and a perfect end.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
the Maker of heaven and earth.
Let us confess our sins to God. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you through our own fault, in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. For the sake of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, forgive us all our offenses and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. May the Almighty God grant us forgiveness of all our sins and the grace and comfort of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
O God, make speed to save us.
O Lord, make haste to help us.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Tonight's psalm is Psalm 95 on page 724. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and raise a loud shout to him with songs. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the caverns of the earth, and the heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands have molded the dry land. Come, let us bow down and bend the knee, and kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Oh, that today you would hearken to his voice.
Harden not your hearts,
as your forebears did in the wilderness of Meribah and on that day at Massah, when they tempted me. They put me to the test, though they had seen my works. 40 years long I detested that generation and said, this people are wayward in their hearts. They do not know my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Tonight's reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 4. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water?" Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it? Jesus said to her, Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. The woman said to him, Sir, give me this water, so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water. Jesus said to her, Go, call your husband and come back. The woman answered him, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, You're right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true. The woman said to him, Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem. Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us. Jesus said to her, I am he, the one who is speaking to you. Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, What do you want, or why are you speaking with her? Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, Come and see a man who told me everything I've ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he? They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples said to one another, Surely no one has brought him something to eat. Jesus said to them, My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say 4 months more, then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true. One sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I have ever done. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there for 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Did Jesus really have to go through Samaria? Usually, Jewish travelers crossed a river and went out of their way to avoid coming into contact with the Samaritans. A Jew could become ceremonially unclean by using a drinking vessel handled by a Samaritan, since all Samaritans were considered unclean. Jesus asked the Samaritan woman to give him water to drink. Was the good shepherd looking for the lost sheep in order to bring them into the fold with the other sheep? According to Nelson's Illustrated Bible Dictionary, until the rise of the Assyrian power in the ancient Near East, Samaria was occupied by tribes of Ephraim and the western portion of the tribe of Manasseh. After many of the Jews were deported, they were replaced by the Assyrians with foreign colonials. They intermarried with the remnant of Jewish people and who were not deported. Josephus indicated these people were opportunists who acknowledged Jewish kinship when that kinship was beneficial, and claimed to be Assyrian descendants when Jews were suffering hard times. Ezra, in his zeal for racial purity, pressured the Israeli men who had married foreigners during the captivity to divorce the pagan wives who had brought idol worship into the family. The final break occurred when the Samaritans built a rival temple on Mount Gerizim, calling that the true Bethel, or house of God. Certainly, Jesus was well aware of this history and disconnect between the Samaritans and the Jewish nation. The Good Shepherd was looking for the lost sheep in the Samaria to a small town named Shechem. The woman at the well certainly knew this history and questioned Jesus by saying, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" Jesus replied, "If you knew who it was who asked you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The Samaritan was puzzled, as well as practical. She told Jesus plainly he had nothing to draw water with and that the well was deep. She asked, "Where can you get this living water?" Then she challenges Jesus with a question, "Do you think you are greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself and also his flocks and herds?" In other words, she questioned his authority. Jesus replies in a practical way, "When we drink water from Jacob's well, we will get thirsty again." He talks about water which becomes a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Once more, the Samaritan woman, who did not have running water in her home as we do, saw how good it would be if they were able to have water without drawing it from the well. Knowing full well the custom of women coming to the well as a group, Jesus asked the woman to go call her husband and come back. She honestly confessed that she had no husband. Jesus acknowledges that and calls and adds that she has had five husbands, and the one she's living with is not her husband. She mentions that her people worship on the mountain in Samaria, while the Jews say they need to worship in Jerusalem. Jesus replies in verses 21 to 24, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when true worshipers worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman acknowledges the Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he." And I think it's interesting that he plainly told her who he was, but when the Pharisees asked, he hedged. So this woman, who was spiritually blind, can now see the truth. This lost sheep has been found. Now the disciples return and find Jesus talking with the Samaritan woman. They, like the woman, have been blinded by prejudice. The woman, probably with her mind whirling about all the prophet had told her, told the people about her experience. She welcomes them to come see this man. After refusing the food the disciples offer, he puzzles them by saying, "I have food to eat you know nothing about." He explains the work he has been set to do is the food. Using the imagery of the harvest, Jesus tells them the harvest is ready. All they have to do is to reap the harvest. Jesus wants the disciples to see as he sees. They too are blinded by history and tradition. Jesus opens the eyes of the blind whether physical blindness or being blinded by prejudice. Once the woman recovers her sight to see the Messiah, she shares with her neighbors. The neighbors must have seen a great change in her because they actually listened to this woman and followed her lead to see the Messiah for themselves. This is a miracle, don't you think? Many people actually do go to Jerusalem to worship, but it is not required of us. I have worshiped wherever I have lived. Still, when I learned my cousin Angeline was going to Jerusalem a few years ago, I asked her to simply write my name on a piece of paper and place it in a crevice of the wall in Jerusalem where so many people pray. Angeline did that for me. I have been blessed to be in Bible studies with people of various denominations, and I have learned by sharing with them. Vespers is a place of sharing our thoughts and ideas, as well as celebrating life events and meals. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place and in the hearts of each person present this night. Amen.
Amen. Into your hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit. For you have redeemed me, O Lord, O God of truth. Keep us, O Lord, as the apple of your eye,
as under the shadow of your wings.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who
art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil.
Lord, hear our prayer,
and let our cry come to you.
Let us pray. Visit this place, O Lord, and drive far from it all snares of the enemy. Let your holy angels dwell with us to preserve us in peace. And let your blessing be upon us always, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Keep watch, dear Lord, with those who work or watch or weep this night, and give your angels charge over those who sleep. Tend the sick, Lord Christ. Give rest to the weary. Bless the dying, soothe the suffering, pity the afflicted, shield the joyous, and all for your love's sake.
Amen.
I invite your intercessions and thanksgivings.
Chelsea.
For all who are sick and suffering, especially Casey,
Pippi,
Eloise, Nancy. Guide us waking, O Lord, and guard us sleeping, that awake we may watch in Christ, and asleep we may rest in peace. Lord, you now have set your servant free to go in peace as you have promised. For these eyes of mine have seen the Savior, whom you have prepared for all the world to see, a light to enlighten the nations and the glory of your people Israel. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Amen.
Guide us waking, O Lord, and guard us sleeping, that awake we may watch with Christ, and asleep we may rest in peace. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Almighty and Merciful Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless us and keep us.
Amen.
This recording is from Christ Episcopal Church in Valdosta, Georgia. For more information, please check our website at www.christchurchvaldosta.org or call 229-242-5115. Thank you for joining us.